We're doing the laws of Rosh Hashanah. Now we're up to the laws of Rechilut, the fourth chapter, the second Anachaim. Reuven ginat Shimon v'fnei shnayim. So Reuven did something that was wrong. He went in front of two people, and he said to them, "You guys know what?" And they started telling them about Shimon. So then one of them goes over to Shimon and says, "You know what Reuven said about you? So what's going to happen? Reuven comes over to two people and tells them something about Shimon. Let me tell you about him." One of them goes to Shimon and tells him, "You know what Reuven just told us?" So the other guy might think, "There's nothing wrong if I tell him, because he already heard it from the first one. Can't do that." And if he comes and tells him, "Let me tell you exactly what he said," that's certainly prohibited, and he is considered to be a rochel, a peddler of stories over this. Now, for sure, sometimes the second guy comes to Shimon, and he says, Shimon is trying to figure out, did it happen, didn't it happen? He tells him, did Reuven really tell you guys that about me? So then for sure he's not supposed to say, "Oh yeah, yeah." Even if he thinks that Shimon really believes it, he still shouldn't go and tell him, "You know what Reuven said about you?" Because by saying it, he causes even more hatred in Shimon's heart against Reuven. Because then he'll believe it even more, and he'll hate him even more. And sometimes when the second guy comes and tells him, "You know what he said about you?" So then there's an even bigger fight, because he arouses the anger all over again. Okay. So that's the halacha we learned today about Rechilut. Even if someone else said it, I shouldn't go and say it as well. I shouldn't go peddling it. Now, this comes up sometimes. In our day, it comes up probably more than it ever did before. People have their own WhatsApp groups. People have their own broadcasts. People share information in clusters. You have your friends on Facebook. And we are trying to develop a sensitivity. The external world doesn't even know this sensitivity exists. People feel so free to say negative things about other people. And people think if it's true, then there's nothing wrong. And people think, if I heard it from my good friend, of course it's true. I'll tell you a story. We had a certain challenge, and one of my best friends, I needed his help in this challenge. And I told him, "Look, A, B, C is what's going on, and I need your help." But then I said to him, "I want you to know, even though we're good friends, and you're my student, you know, you've been learning by me for over a decade or whatever, you're not allowed to believe me." Meaning you're going to help me, and we're going to try to work this out together. But you have to remember, the laws of Lashon Hara are that just because you think you could trust me, hey, I'm your rabbi, you think you could trust me, we're friends for the better part of a decade, that doesn't allow you to trust me. You're not allowed to take my side of the story or believe what I said. Yes, because of the circumstances, I have to share with you what's going on, and we're going to work together to resolve the situation. However, you, at every moment, have to remember, you're not allowed to believe me. So sometimes we feel like if it's my family member, if it's someone who I trust, so then of course I'm allowed to listen to their Lashon Hara. Wrong. Yosef was talking to his father. Yosef was very believable. And yet, if it's Lashon Hara, you're not allowed to believe it. You shouldn't even say it. Oh, you think it's legitimate to say it? Be very careful what you say, how you say, what you verify. Do you really know the facts? These are halachot that we sometimes overlook. We allow ourselves to assume it's permissible. a good friend of mine came to me a few days ago and asked me a question, and I said, and I avoided the answer. And so he noticed I wasn't answering him, so he asked me again, and I again avoided the answer. And then he cornered me and he said, "You realize you're not answering me?" I said, "Yes." So he says, "I want to know." I say, "I understood that." He says, "If you don't tell me, I won't know." I said, "Right." He said, "But I think I have a right to know." I said, "I don't know what that right is. I don't know what right you have to know." So the person said, "What do you mean? I deal with so-and-so all the time. I need to know. If he's dishonest, I need to know." I said, I don't know that you need to know. I don't know. I'm not convinced." So the guy keeps pushing me, and I said, "I'll tell you the truth. Maybe we should go out for pork together. If we were talking about pork, you wouldn't be standing here yelling at me, telling me that it's kosher and I should serve it to you. And why? Because you know, you don't really know. So I'm not so convinced that what you're asking me, I'm allowed to tell you. It's not different than pork." We forget the severity of the prohibition of Lashon Hara. And especially today on social media, it's so easy to just put out two lines. "He's a jerk. Finished." That's Lashon Hara. But it's my opinion. I'm not allowed to think that about him. You can think it. Don't say it. Maybe you shouldn't think it. I like learning these halachot, because these are halachot. If you don't keep learning them, then it's very hard to develop the sensitivity for these halachot. The external world ignores it. The external world doesn't even have the sensitivity. It like, doesn't exist. So what if I said something? People feel like they could just post whatever they want, and maybe a week later they'll apologize. "You know, I had a bad night." What does that help you? If it's a shonara, it's a shonara. If it's a transgression, it's a transgression. And we have to be so careful and recognize the severity of this. And I want to share with you a thought that was the last piece that the Friedricher Rebbe wrote. Friedricher means the previous. So when Rav Menachem Mendel Schneerson of blessed memory became the Rebbe of Chabad, his father-in-law became known as the Friedricher, the previous one, right? So the first speech that Rabbi Schneerson gave was the last speech that his father-in-law gave. He wrote it up, and when he was asked, when it was the Yahrzeit, the year after his father-in-law had passed away, so they asked him to give his first speech as Rebbe, and he began with the last speech his father-in-law wrote on the day he died. And the speech was about a verse in the Song of Songs. The Pasuk in Shir Shirim says, "Bati legani." It's a description of how the beloved comes to his garden. "Bati legani achoti chala." I have come to my garden, my sister, my betrothed. And our sages say a well-known medrash, "Bikesh hakadosh baruch hu dira batachtonim." Hashem wanted a dwelling place down below. Hashem wanted a dwelling place here. Angels Hashem created in heaven. There are heaven, seven layers of heaven. And Hashem has all that running the way He wants. But He wanted a place down below. When we speak about the idea that Hashem wants a place down below, that means in our hearts, in our behavior, in our speech, in the way we live our lives. And when we are faced with challenges and we make the right decision, when we say, "Hashem doesn't want me to do that, I'm not doing it. Hashem wants me to do this, even though I don't feel like it, I'm going to do it." That's when we start creating a dira batachtonim. Hashem exists down below. The greater the challenge, then the greater the accomplishment when we stand up to the challenge. When Yosef can stand up to the challenge of Potiphar's wife's seduction, day after day, year after year, he had all the excuses in the world. His father turned on him, his brothers turned on him, everything went bad. Where is God in my life? Why do I have to live up to these values? Those were not excuses Yosef used. Well, then Yosef became one of the great shepherds of all time. One of the seven stages of bringing Shechina down into the world. Avram was one level, Yitzchak was a level, Yaakov was a level. Well, we're also challenged with that. Can we create a world where Hashem lives down below? Well, the way we create it is when we stand up to the challenges and do what's right. It's when we see that I have a choice right now. Am I going to do what I want? Am I going to do what's right? Am I going to live up to the values I believe in? Am I going to say, Hashem doesn't want me to do it. I'm not going to do it now. And it's very hard. It's very hard, and it's a challenge we face every person in their realm. But when we make the right decision, then we are creating a dira b'tachtonim. Hashem lives down below. To my mind, the greatest challenge probably is regarding our speech. Is when it comes to Lashon Hara. Could be in our generation, the greater challenge is what we see. Could be, it's hard to know which is the greater challenge today. But generally, it's what we say. The ability to say I'm not going to say Lashon Hara. Well, when we make that decision, what we're deciding is really he's the boss. But when I make that decision, I'm bringing him here. He's the boss here. When I say I'm going to do what I want, I know there's a mitzvah. Leave me alone. Right now, it's a juicy piece of Lashon Hara. What I'm saying is, Rabban Shalom, you stay up there. Leave me in charge down here. There's a challenge we face all the time. Are we going to make this place a Diran B'Tachtonim? So there was a man you all heard about. His name was Rav Steinman Zatzal. He passed away on the eve of Hanukkah. It's now going to be a month to his passing. Rav Steinman was at one point working on the railroad tracks. He was enlisted by force to work on the railroad tracks. He was one of the young men who were in a forced labor building railroad tracks in Europe. I guess in Russia, but I don't remember where. And at the end of the day, everyone was wiped. It was a very hard, grueling day. And one day, one of his co-workers sees him after work going into a base medrash and learning fervently. And he comes over to him and he says, I'm tired, you're for sure tired. How do you do this? What are you doing? So Rav Steinman said to him, I have a goal. So he says, what's your goal? He said, my goal is to be Merkava Lashchina. I want to be the chariot that God rides on. I want to be that chariot. So our sages say that the patriarchs, the Avot, were Merkava Lashchina. They were the chariot. They represented Hashem in the world. It was as though Hashem was riding on their back. So Rav Steinman, when he was a young man, he expressed, what's my goal in life? I want to be a chariot that Hashem is riding on. So the person who told over the story, the person said, I left the room in awe. And I said to myself, I should want that too. And then I thought for a minute and I said, I do. And then I said, okay, I'll start tomorrow. And so it never happened. So we all know that I'll start tomorrow. But to my mind, the line of I want to be a Merkava Lashchina is no different than the line the Friedrich Rebbe said, Bikesh la Kadosh Baruch Hu Dira B'Tachtonim, Hashem wants a dwelling place down below. It's the same theme. It's a decision we have to make when we're faced with the challenge. And to my mind, the challenge that comes up all the time is what we'll say, if we'll say, how we'll say. There we have day in and day out that challenge. Can we be the Merkava Lashkina? Can we be the representation of the fact that Hashem is here? He's not just up there, he's here. And my speech should reflect that.